Just before 11 p.m. on July 4, 2025, someone set off fireworks outside a fenced federal detention center in Alvarado, Texas. For a moment, it looked like an ordinary 4th of July. It was not. Federal prosecutors say the fireworks were a lure, a way to draw officers into the open. It worked. When Alvarado Police Lieutenant Thomas Gross responded, someone opened fire from the tree line. 20 to 30 rounds went off in under a minute. One of them hit Gross in the neck. You're listening to Civic Intelligence. This is the story of that ambush, the federal terrorism case it became, and the fight, still ongoing on appeal, over what a jury actually found. Here is what the record shows, sourced to the Justice Department and the Texas outlets that covered the case gavel to gavel. At roughly 10:37 p.m. that night, 10 to 12 people gathered outside the Prairie Land Detention Center, an Immigration and Customs Enforcement Facility, ICE, about 30 miles south of Fort Worth. They set off fireworks and spray-painted parked vehicles and a guard structure with slogans including "Ice Pig" and "Traitor." Prosecutors call the fireworks a diversion, a way to get personnel outside the gate. The diversion worked. ICE officers called 911, and two unarmed correctional officers stepped outside around 10:58 p.m. About a minute later, Lieutenant Gross arrived, and someone in dark clothing and a mask opened fire from a wooded area. Body camera audio reportedly captured a man named Benjamin Hanelsong yelling, "Get to the rifles!" moments before the shooting started. 20 to 30 rounds were fired in under a minute. Gross was struck by a round that entered his shoulder and exited near his neck. He was airlifted to a Fort Worth hospital and released within a day. Investigators recovered an AR-style rifle nearby with a jammed action. "Make no mistake," Acting U.S. Attorney Nancy Larson said days later, "this was not a so-called peaceful protest. It was indeed an ambush." Within days, prosecutors charged 11 people with attempted murder of federal officers and related firearms counts. Song, the alleged shooter, evaded arrest for 11 more days before he was captured on July 15, 2025. The case did not stop growing. Investigators arrested more people on charges of helping Song hide from capture. By October, Attorney General Pam Bondi announced the first federal terrorism charges tied to what prosecutors branded a North Texas Antifa cell, a label the defendants dispute. By July of 2026, U.S. Attorney Ryan Raybould put the total at least 22 people charged in federal or state court. 9 of those defendants went to trial in Fort Worth on February 23, 2026. Over 12 days, jurors heard from more than 45 witnesses and considered over 210 exhibits, body camera footage of the shooting, and encrypted signal messages prosecutors said showed the group discussing firearms and police tactics beforehand. On March 13, 2026, the jury returned its verdict, and it is more precise than most of the headlines about it. 8 of the 9 were found guilty of providing material support to terrorists, along with riot and explosives conspiracy counts. Song alone was also convicted of the attempted murder of Lieutenant Gross. And here is the detail that both the government's press releases and the defendant's supporters tend to blur. The jury acquitted all 7 of Song's co-defendants of the attempted murder charges filed against them specifically. A 9th trial defendant, Daniel Rolando Sanchez Estrada, was acquitted of every terrorism-related count and convicted only of concealing documents, a materially different and lesser verdict. Not everyone convicted in this case was convicted of the same thing. Sentencing stretched across 2 weeks in the summer of 2026. On June 23rd, U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor sentenced the first 8 defendants in Fort Worth, calling the attack an assault on Democracy. Song received the maximum, 100 years. Rueda received 70 years. Hill, Evitts, Batten, Morris, and Elizabeth Soto each received 50. Sanchez Estrada received 30 for the document concealment counts alone. The Justice Department put the combined total at 450 years. Inez Soto, the ninth trial defendant, was sentenced separately on July 1, 2026, to 50 more, bringing the trial group's combined total to 500 years. Seven additional defendants who pleaded guilty to lesser roles, including helping Song evade capture, were sentenced to terms of 22 months to 15 years. All nine trial defendants have since filed notices of appeal to the U.S. Fifth Circuit. None of these convictions is final yet. The administration treated the verdict as vindication of a broader campaign. Attorney General Bondi called Antifa a domestic terrorist organization that has been allowed to flourish in Democrat-led cities, not under President Trump, and said the verdict will not be the last. The Federal Bureau of Investigations Director, Kash Patel, the FBI, said the Bureau remains committed to identifying, locating, and dismantling Antifa and its funding networks across the country. President Trump, a Republican, highlighted the eight defendants' combined sentence on Truth Social. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, also a Republican, folded the case into a broader state investigation of a Houston anti-fascist group, though his office never identified any defendant in this case as a member of that group. The defense tells a different story. None of the defendants dispute that fireworks were set off, that vehicles were vandalized, or that an officer was shot. What they dispute is intent. Their lawyers told jurors the group had gathered for a noise demonstration, and that anyone carrying a firearm did so in self-defense, not as part of a planned ambush. Sufia Khalid, an attorney for one of the defendants, warned the prosecution's theory would let the government label anyone engaged in basic protests with the wrong political beliefs a domestic terrorist. And a former Justice Department counsel for domestic terrorism, Tom Brzezowski, made a narrower but sharper point to KERA News. The statute the eight were actually convicted under doesn't require proving terroristic intent at all, just that they assisted a qualifying federal crime. The word Antifa, he noted, appears exactly once in the jury instructions. At one point, the trial judge himself asked prosecutors a question that sits oddly next to his own assault on democracy line at sentencing. Whether it's Antifa or the Methodist Women's Auxiliary of Weatherford, why does it matter? A federal officer was shot in the neck outside a Texas ICE facility on a night fireworks were used to draw him into the open. Eight defendants were convicted of providing material support to terrorists for that night. The shooter, Benjamin Haneel Song, drew a 100-year sentence on top of his attempted murder conviction. A ninth trial defendant was acquitted of every terrorism count and convicted only of concealing documents, a distinction that gets lost in coverage on both sides. Seven more pleaded guilty to lesser roles. All nine trial defendants are appealing, and none of their convictions is final. The government has made this case the centerpiece of a national campaign against Antifa. The defendants say they were at a peaceful demonstration that a shooter turned violent. Both things can be argued about a case built on gunfire outside a federal facility. Neither argument changes what the jury actually found, count by count.
This has been Civic Intelligence. Check every source for yourself. The charging documents, the verdict form, the sentencing transcripts at civicintelligence.news. If this show is worth your time, subscribe, and we'll see you next episode.